All right. Wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning again, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, Father, that you've shed upon us. Lord, we just ask now that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us to be faithful to you, to bring glory to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Had a little bit of excitement this morning, or a little, I guess, excitement of problems, something this morning. Last night I got a text from a man and asked about the way of salvation, what we taught is the way of salvation. And I told him that the Bible tells us that to believe in Jesus is the way of salvation, and to believe in what he said is evidence of believing in Jesus. And he said, well, can you explain that a little more, or tell your plan of salvation? How come the plan of salvation is not on the website? And I said, well, it's because you can't put it in a box. It's nothing that just can go through steps and you're saved. It's people hear the word and they believe. And I gave the example of the rich young ruler. He was asked to sell everything he had to follow Jesus, and he went away sorrowful. He didn't ask him whether he believed that he rose, was going to rise, and was dead, or when he was from the dead, and didn't talk about the blood. He just said, sell what you have and follow me. And it was just that simple. And for that man, that was what it required for him at that time, to follow Jesus. And he chose not to do it. Whenever God puts his claim on your life, and everything in the Bible, every instance in the Bible that God talks about faith, it's God asking or putting a claim on your life and giving you the opportunity to either believe him or to walk away sorrowful. Just like this example that's given in the Bible of Jesus actually dealing with someone seeking salvation. He didn't say, well, go to the Romans Road and believe these four verses and ask Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved. There's nothing in the Bible that supports that for the way of salvation. There's nothing in the Bible that says, no one says, believe that Jesus died and rose again and you'll be saved. Not one iota of that in the Bible. But we do have what Jesus taught and the apostles. I told him those answers, and then he asked about the church a little bit and what time we met, and asked if people were welcome. I said, yes, of course. What about the Lord's Supper? Or he said, you meet on Sundays, and you call that the Lord's Day? And I said, yes. And then he said, what about the Lord's Supper? I said, yes, we take communion. He said, well, what does it mean? The Lord's Supper. And I said, well, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, and take the blood, just like he said. And I said, we don't believe there's anything, we pray over it, makes it some magical thing, but that's what Jesus said. And anyway, and then this morning, we had the people out front. I didn't even read their signs, didn't talk to them, but I saw them standing out there. So I thought, it just kind of dawned on me, oh, that's what all that was about last night. It wasn't anyone seriously inquiring in a truthful way about salvation. It wasn't someone seeking salvation. It was just like what we've faced on the streets for years and years and years. People coming up, feigning even to be lost, and tell me how to get saved. Or, how do you tell people to get saved? Over and over again, every weekend, same thing. We would tell them to believe Jesus, to obey Him, just like the Scriptures say. And yet, over and over again, after a little while, the aha comes out. We caught you. You're not teaching the true way of salvation because you don't lead people down the Romans road and you don't ask people to say a little prayer and be saved. You don't tell them, repent and be saved. Believe the gospel. The gospel being that simply to them, Jesus died, rose again, and is buried on the third day. We believe that. The Bible says, the Bible teaches that the devils believe that. And they're not saved. We believe Jesus died. We believe He was buried. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. That's our only hope. That is our hope. But that is not the way of salvation. That is not what Jesus taught about how to appreciate or how to receive that precious gift that God has given to us. He told us to believe, to have faith. Like I said before, everyone in the Bible that the Bible talks about having faith came to a point in their life where there had to be a decision whether they were going to choose to hear this new revelation of God's claim on their life or to choose their own way and their own ideas, their own stubborn heart, their own will, or to surrender their will to the Lord's. When I saw them out there this morning, after it dawned on me that here I had been duped again, trusting someone that they were actually honest in their questions. Honestly seeking answers. And I'll be duped again. Because I don't want to give up on people. I don't want to give up on humanity. I want to be able to trust people. And when people come at you like this, what it does is undermines trust. The problem is religious people like this don't have trust. That's what, if Jesus was here, we would all have to trust Him if we believed Him. Not that He was going to die and save our hides from hell, but we would have to trust Him to follow Him. Just like we have to trust Him to follow Him today. And it takes trust. It's not all just cut and dried. Well, the Bible says it and I believe it and there's nothing going to change my mind. That's not trust. That's having your mind locked down on a theology. That's having your mind seared into some kind of doctrine. A false hope. That's standing on some rock, you think, that is nothing but a grain of sand in an hourglass that soon will fall. Faith is not that sure. We believe the Word. We believe what it says. But there's a great difference between believing what it says and trusting in it. to live our lives by it. People can't see the difference. They think because they believe in something strongly and never doubt it, that it's unquestionably true. That is the greatest path to deception. Hell is filled with people who believed with all their heart that they were right. The people that Jesus met and talked with on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we believe that you died and rose again? Among other things will be said commonly on that day. Didn't you say we must be born again? And I was born again. Didn't you say this? Didn't you say that? Didn't you say this? Demanding that he change his mind because they were right. And he's got to be wrong. Lord, Lord, we believed. Lord, Lord, I was born again. Back in 1943, I remember the day, I remember the time. Lord, Lord, I was baptized. Lord, Lord, I believed it this way. I believed it that way. And it was in your word. I believed it. But the problem is that don't mean diddly squat to him. What you believe. The whole world's full of people who are dead sure they're right. He told those people, depart from me, for I never knew you. Many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. He that hears my words and does them, that's what he said. He said, it's like a man building his house on a rock. Building his house. And they build the sturdiest house in the world on their own ideas and their own doctrines, their own theologies and their own surmisings of what they've come up with in the Bible. We're biblical. I don't know how many times I've heard that. How many people have said, we're biblical. Well, Satan is biblical too when he wants to be. We're biblical. We built this house and we're biblical. But then the storms came. The winds blew. The house came crashing down. Then there was one that built their house not on their biblical ideas, but on the rock. If you read about that, the rock. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who believes that I died and rose again. No, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Who is it? He that just believes that he died? No, that's not what he said. This is Jesus' words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Who is it? He that's got his theology all figured out, he that's been off to Bible school and been brainwashed into some different denominations, ideas, and ways of thinking. Someone who grew up in church all their life. No, he that hears these words of mine and acts upon them. You see, we can hear these words and they become doctrine. We can hear these words and they become theology. We can hear these words and they become my creed for life. But it's not he that hears these words, he that acts upon them. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Hearing God and acting upon it. You know, there's people that hear God. He tells them to do this or tells them to do that. And if a person has heard from God, it doesn't matter what you say to them, you are not going to change their mind. People we talk to all the time tell us, well, God told me this. You can argue with them from now until eternity, and you will not change their mind because they have heard from God. God teaches us His ways, and we act upon them, and we follow them. We don't pour them in concrete and never move from them. You act upon them. It's a living thing, not something that happened once. A man that hears from God still hears from God. And God uses men to teach. And whenever you have your ideas all panned out and you start asking questions, just trying to see if I line up with your ideas, you're not seeking truth. You're just trying to justify your own ideas and say, there's another one that's wrong. How right I am. There's another one that's wrong. Boy, I did it again. Just like the Pharisees did. They had truth and life right in front of them. And all they could try to do is to find a way to trap him. Find a way to prove that he's wrong so that I can be right. You're not right because you prove someone wrong. You're right because you hear these words and act upon them. You're right because you walk in the light. You're right because you have faith. Everyone who hears these words of mine, how many people have studied this book right and left? How many? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes thought they had all the authority in the word because they had the Bible. And they could have went right up and down pointing out their doctrines and their ideas, but the crowds weren't amazed at them. But Jesus here comes teaching a whole different thing. Something that's not just able to put down in concrete about faith. Something that's not just able to, oh, I'm building this super duper house and I can see the walls. Because his authority is much bigger than any little plan that we could map out ourselves. little theology that a whole group of people could tack down and say, this is the way. And if you're not this way, you're wrong. But his teachings came, and they didn't make sense to the Pharisees. They didn't make sense to the unbelievers, because they were on a spiritual level that requires honesty, requires truthfulness, and that requires trust. That the Pharisees knew nothing about. But here the common people, they just heard him speak and say, his words are ringing true. There's something there. He's got an authority that doesn't have to follow all these little patterns and fit in all these little cubby holes of truth that the others are talking about. That's the rock that we need to trust in. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. He that believed Jesus died and rose again and his blood washed away all my sins. That's not what he said. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You see, to be in heaven, we've got to be like God. We have to be of his same spirit. We have to be on his same plane of truthfulness. And if we have to use deceit to try to persuade someone or try to get in their good graces, play on their trust, try to get them to show you where they're wrong and you're right. That's not the way the Spirit of God operates. That's not the way Jesus operated. He came teaching. The scribes and the Pharisees and the wicked came trying to trap him in his words, trying to entangle him, trying to get him to say something wrong. Eventually, even trying to get him to say something where they could run to the Romans and say, there he is, kill him. All the while being biblical. All the while quoting the Bible. Back then they were talking about keeping the law, and that's why they were going to kill him. Today, how are you following the Romans road? Today, have you been born again? They don't even know what the word means. They don't even know what the phrase means. It's become a catchphrase among most people that claim Christianity. Oh yeah, I'm born again. And they'll stand before Jesus and tell them they're born again. And he'll say, depart from me, I never heard you. Never knew what you're talking about. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Just like they don't have a clue about what he's saying. John chapter 3. Verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? See, here the Pharisees had never heard that term. But we have. That's what makes us different. We have. So now we can come just like the Pharisees and say, have you been born again? That's biblical. You see the comparison? They had never heard this term. We have. But the spirits don't change. Spirits don't change. The terminology does. Today, the Pharisees come using all the proper words, but they've got the same spirit that these Pharisees that hung Jesus on the cross did. That's what it means to try the spirits. We're so easily fooled by the words. We're so easily fooled by, oh, born again, that sounds so good. That sounds so religious. I've been born again. I've been saved. I've asked Jesus into my heart. And if you haven't, you're probably one of them Pharisees. Because they didn't know what it meant, like I do. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wait a minute. The Pharisee said, what are you talking about? Why don't you just tell us, if I keep the law, I'll be saved. Why don't you just tell us, if I obey all the law, I'll be saved? Oh, because it's not that way. You got to be born again. The modern man, modern Pharisee says, I've been born again. I've been saved. I don't need to understand all this spiritual stuff. I've been all that. That's me. That which is born of the flesh and flesh is that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Why, I've been born again. I'm of the Spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. We can have the same spirit as the Pharisees, but know all these words and think that somehow we're different or we're better. Then Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Boy, I wish it had been a little more clear there to have spelled out how you're born again, like we can now. He left it so vague. He didn't just tell us, okay, are you a sinner? Yes. Have you fallen short of the glory of God? Yes. Would you confess your sin? Yes. Would you say this prayer and ask Jesus into your heart? Yes. No, why didn't Jesus just tell us that? Instead of talking about the wind blows wherever it wants and you don't know where it come from. But you can see what it's doing. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You're not going to nail him down. And if you have, you're wrong. But you think you're right. And you just as well have on your pharisaical robe and all the little bells and whistles or whatever they had on their robe, looking down your skinny pharisaical nose, thinking Jesus has lost his mind. Why don't he just tell us? Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be? How is it you can't just tell me how to be saved? We've asked and we've asked, how do you be saved? And you can't tell us. You must be wrong." The same spirit today as it was when Jesus was here. They don't change. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. I buy you books and buy you books, and all you do is eat the covers. You're not hearing me. I've told you, but you don't have ears to hear. You don't have eyes to see. But you think you see and you think you hear. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to the heaven but he who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up." The earthly things. So that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He was standing there looking at this man. Did he believe him? Or did he believe his dogma about him? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It doesn't say that you believe the things about him. You believe him. There's a vast difference between believing about someone and actually believing them. And that is the vast difference that determines those who would say, "Lord, Lord," and build their house on sand. Those who say, "Lord, Lord," and build their house on a rock. Whoever believes in him. Not in these modern concoctions of theology that take the spirit of the Pharisee and give it the words of the New Testament. It's he that believes in him. It's that simple. And how can you say you believe someone, you believe in someone, and then take the things that they say and don't believe them? And don't practice them and don't do them. You know, we've had people criticize us because, well, Paul said this. And we've told them that Jesus said this. This is what Jesus said. Well, Paul said, Paul was a follower of Jesus. And if we don't understand what Paul said, let's go back to what Jesus said and build on the idea that Paul believed Jesus before he believed his own letters and own theology. His letters and his theology are based on what Jesus taught. And if you come up with a different idea of what Paul said, you're looking at Paul and you're looking at Jesus through a different set of glasses. If you're not looking at Paul through what Jesus said, you've got everything all mixed up. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is eternal life. And our faith is in Him. Our trust is in Him. That's the only promise of eternal life that's offered in the Bible. Doesn't matter how firm we believe in what we've concocted. It's sand. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. Someone asked you about salvation? You trust in Jesus. You believe Him. You look up His words. You find out what they mean. What He taught. Till you get to that place where I can't do that. Then your will is going crossways with His, and one of you have to change. That's what repentance means. Is you come head on, you come face to face with Christ, and one of you dies. You either kill Him again, or you die. And when you die, you can find your life. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything to share?
I appreciate from John 3:36, it says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son does not see life, but for wrath and bad by him.
Amen. Amen. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Amen.